At DM Wentworth, we say you should get treasure for your hireling settlement now. Use it when you need it.
DM Wentworth, my treasure now?
It's my treasure and I need it now.
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 If you're a lowly hireling and you need cash now, DM Wentworth can help. We'll buy all or part of your treasure share for at least 1d6 peridots and 3 pieces of fine art, so you can pay bills that have piled up as a result of an injury or an inability to delve. Scry DM Wentworth now and speak to one of our hireling settlement specialists. You'll get a no-cost appraise spell and have all of your questions answered. The ritual is free, and there's no Gius.
A wraith took 2 of my levels and my right foot, and DM Wentworth got me a type Q treasure and a satchel of 22 plus 1 sling bolts.
The gelatinous cube ate my dog and my ear. Thanks to DM Wentworth, I got 3 type J treasures, a sapphire, and an apparatus of Qualish.
It's my treasure, and I need it now! It's your treasure. Use it when you need it.
Call 877-LOOT-NOW. That's 877-LOOTNOW.
Don't actually call that.
Welcome to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where every other week we get together and discuss topics of interest to concerned individuals.
Yes, this is a highbrow show for the discerning gentleman and gentlewoman gamer.
Oh, John, I'm sorry I have to interrupt you there. The Falkland Islands have been invaded.
This just in.
This is the 1963 System Mastery.
Yes, welcome to Afterthought. I'm John, that's Jeff, we're talking at you. It's good times for everyone.
Yep. So, how you doing, John?
So good, so excited to be here, full of so much energy, not sleepy at all. I didn't just eat way too much and feel like passing out.
No, there's definitely not a huge milkshake occupying my awake nodes.
Yeah, definitely not.
That's how I work normally. If there's no food in me, then my awake nodes are unobstructed and I'm doing just fine. But right now, my awake nodes are crushed under the weight of grass-fed ancient Japanese beef.
Ah, the great ancient Japanese mystic beef.
That was a weird thing to advertise the meat as at that restaurant, right? Ancient Japanese secret beef?
Yeah, that's like the Calgon of burgers.
Like, even if it's Kobe beef, which, sure, I'm sure it is. That's gotta be less than 400 years old in terms of concept, right? I mean... Right? It's, right? It's not like they've had aurochs out there until they managed to grow them into Kobe beef. It's not that ancient. It just isn't. It's about as ancient as, say, I don't know, poop. I don't know. I literally can't think of anything that's exactly 400 years old.
Yeah, well, poop is almost exactly 400 years old.
Happy birthday, poop!
400 years ago, no poop.
Trying to think of something that was invented in the 1600s. Theory of gravity. The telescope.
Yes. I can really taste the theory of gravity in this burger.
This microscope tastes exactly like a delicious burger. I should tell my good friend, the inventor of the microscope, Antonin van Leeuwenhoek. Look it up, people. Get some culture.
Figure it out. Read a book.
Oh, Christ. John, you were the one who had a subject for this week, but before we get to that, what was the game we discussed last week?
So, last week was a Legacy...
Dot, dot.
War of Ages.
I'd give it a full ellipse, but I don't want to. It was like my least favorite
game
in a while.
Two-thirds of an ellipse.
It was so boring.
Oh, it was fine. It was a great game, in fact. In fact, I loved it.
You loved it. We're going to be playing it next weekend.
I'm running the game. Anyone who wants to get in my play-by-post Legacy War of Ages game, let me know.
No. No, I don't.
Negative.
Can I play as a different character from a different game system?
And also play a different game system?
No, I don't mind playing with you guys. It's just that I will be playing using different rules. So whenever you're like, hey man, roll this stupid Legacy dice mechanic, I'll be like, yeah, okay, I'll roll a d20 from my Gamma World game instead. And my, what are you guys, all immortals? That's great. I'm a swarm of radioactive tiny robots.
Good. Great. That's going to fit right in the techno-gothic world.
Techno-gothic world. Someone pointed out that there's a sci-fi movie out there that says that their world is the techno-futile.
Techno-futile. Oh, God. I love that you could just add techno to any word, and it's just worse than. You're like, oh, yeah, we had this weird ship. No, we had a techno ship.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It makes it way worse. Techno has lost its cachet as a cool
ever
word.
Ever since the late 90s, techno has been terrible.
That's actually all the techno I still like is from the late 90s. I know you were staring at me with dead eyes to get me to react as a fan of electronic music, but I've put away my top hat from Dr. Seuss many years ago. I no longer have a vast collection of pacifiers and candy necklaces.
Look, if there's something I'm going to listen to, it's Juno Reactor and that's it.
Yeah, I'll put on Darude and I'll be fine.
All. Okay, so when it came to this specific book, we had a small little discussion on the website that I thought bared fleshing out for any of our readers who don't go to our website and don't care about us or support us at all.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Or anyone who is only subscribing through iTunes or Stitcher or what have you.
Yeah.
The people who don't know that we actually have SystemMasteryPodcast.com, where you can come for all of your SystemMasteryPodcast.com related needs.
You can find t-shirts and our Patreon page. Why, there's a world of wonder to find at SystemMasteryPodcast.com.
John's recipe page.
All of my recipes. Everything that I cook, you can find there.
Yeah, including such luminary recipes as plan to make a quesadilla, eat cold cheese. Tell me I'm wrong.
Look in fridge for 5 minutes, say fuck it. Great recipes and more.
At SystemMasteryPodcast.com.
Brought to you by GM.
All right, so what was the discussion?
Okay, so there was a just a quick thing that was brought up about how we were very down on this book for being just straight ripping off Highlander and Neuromancer and all of that.
Yeah, and it was specifically brought up in reference to another game that was a series of straight ripoffs that we kind of enjoyed, which is Cthulhu Tech.
Well, yeah, and there are a bunch of other games, like when we did The Heaven and Earth, it very obviously heavily references and talks about stuff that are very Twin Peaks and X-Files.
Right, and then we had that Ghostbusters role-playing game reviewed a long time ago. That was a complete rip-off of Ghostbusters.
Right?
Yeah.
God, I don't even know how they got away with that.
I couldn't believe it. That Indiana Jones game, that was 100% a rip-off of Sci-Fi Channel's The Librarian. I don't know.
Has anyone seen that?
Is that just me?
Did anyone see this? Anyone talking about this? Huh? This was in the news, eh? Yes! Okay, so the question was really, how can we be so angry and down on one thing for doing a lot of ripoffs and references, when in other ways, we liked them in certain other games?
It's because we are complex beings. We contain multitudes. We are legion.
We are vast.
We are vast.
Well, for me, the big thing, and I mentioned this on the site, is it's the difference between reference and ripoff for me. Like the Guyver unit reference in Cthulhu Tech, where it's you get bonded to this weird, like, from beyond the stars symbiote, and it basically turns you into a Guyver, but it also makes you into a weird tentacle monster, and it kind of splits the difference between Guyver and Cthulhu, so it blends the ideas together.
For me, it's a lot like, both of these games scrape the serial numbers off something, right? But one of them bothers to draw more stuff back on there.
Oh yeah, it's, I thought X was really cool, so I put it in my game, but I made it like this.
Yeah.
Whereas Legacy was just, I thought Highlander was cool, full stop, no thoughts.
I thought Highlander was cool, and here it is.
Here's Highlander. Like, that was it.
It turns out it's hard to get the rights to Highlander, you guys.
You guys, I don't know if you know this, but my nuts. Mom, my nuts.
Cripes.
No explanation.
No explanation.
You.
Anyone who gets that reference, send us an email. All right. So, that's definitely true. I felt like one of those games was clearly more rip-off-y than the other, and it had a lot to do with putting more layers in. Cthulhu Tech, which, let's be fair, it's hard to defend Cthulhu Tech because people have explained to us since we reviewed it that we were wrong and the game is bad and terrible and the dice mechanics don't work and there's rape every other page. I don't know how we missed all that.
Well, it's not in the main book. That's mostly in other books.
Yeah, it's in other books that make it so gross. But the Cthulhu Tech core book is relatively innocuous and inoffensive. It's kind of a fun read. And yeah, it takes, you know, sure, it's stealing Guyver, but Guyver isn't about Cthulhu. So these two things, they actually took them and blended them very well. So it's got that kind of Lovecraft mythos and that kind of Japanese robot fighting, and they make sense. They took the chocolate and they took the peanut butter and they smacked them together and they got a Reese cup. Where,
yeah, no, I mean, like I had mentioned before in Heaven and Earth, the whole idea of like, oh, this has a lot of references that could be construed as being very Twin Peaks or X-Files, but it would be like if instead of that, it was just called Heaven and Earth, but you are an FBI agent who really likes coffee and shows up in a town somewhere.
Maybe you'll meet the stick lady.
Like, that's, if they just straight up were like, no, we are doing Twin Peaks the game.
That candy you like will become popular again.
Yeah.
Said backwards.
You're in the Scarlet Room.
Yeah. Basically, if Cthulhu took chocolate and peanut butter and mashed them together, it made a Reese cup, but when Legacy took chocolate and peanut butter and smashed them together, it made dog penis medicine.
Yeah, it made medicine that looks like a dog penis.
It made thick, creamy dog penis medicine applied twice daily.
Yeah, the problem was they had, like, Highlander and Neuromancer, and instead of trying to combine them into something cool, it was, have Highlander, also Neuromancer. It's not we had chocolate and peanut butter and we put them together. It's we had chocolate and peanut butter and we laid them side by side. And
we don't like our food touching.
It's touching. No!
No! We ruined both of them.
Everything's ruined. I'm throwing the plate out.
Put it on the dog's penis.
That's right. You heard it here first from Vet Tech Jeff. The best cure for any dog penis ailments, take a Reese's peanut butter cup, rub it all over your dog's dick, and then have him come out and bite a Reese's cup off your dick.
Oh, God. So, okay. So I feel like that probably answers that question pretty well. I mean, granted, it was resolved on the website as well.
It's resolved fairly quickly, but that it's one of those things that when you are doing an RPG and you think, hey, this is a cool idea that I would like to put into my RPG. Make sure you're not just wholesale lifting it out of one thing and dropping it into another, but that you actually do something to make it work in your game.
You gotta blend. You gotta do a little wet blending around the edges. You gotta dry brush so that those colors connect.
Yeah, don't just slap that paint on there. You want to make it look pretty.
Yeah, you want to make it look good. Maybe even contrast those colors. If they don't intersect, at least they should create a reasonably pretty gestalt.
Indeed.
So many metaphors. What you guys need to do is take a metaphor and then a simile and smash them together and make dog penis medicine.
Yes.
I found a way to just make John laugh on command.
Well, you know how much I love dog penises.
Well, you don't want them to get sick, do you?
No. I care deeply about the health of every dog's penis.
Even the girl dogs.
Especially the girl dogs.
Oh, all right. It's been interesting to read the next game we're reading in lineup for this after reading Immortal or Legacy, because the next one we're doing is another game about immortal godheads who are totally just Highlanders, you guys. And it's weird to do two of them in a row. It feels like we're doing a little duology. Anyway, do you want to answer some questions?
We may as well answer some questions.
All right, let's get to some questions.
Yeah, let's go to the mailbag. We're doing mail questions from you. We love to hear all the questions you do.
Oh, this is a new feature where John sings the opening the mailbag theme.
And it's different.
It's interesting. If you're a big podcast listener, you should know that John does not listen to the Flophouse.
You should know that I don't listen to podcasts, especially anything good.
Yeah. So he doesn't know that that's been their long-running theme for like 7 years.
One time I tried to listen to Welcome to Night Vale. Gave up. Don't care. Don't care about anything.
Night Vale's a little tricky. I feel like Night Vale's pretty good for like driving.
Thing is, I'm almost never in a situation where I'm like, oh, I'll listen to a podcast now. Like, I don't drive anywhere for an extended period of time. And if I'm at my house, I'm doing something. And if I was listening to a podcast, I would either stop doing that and listen or not listen to it while I was doing that thing.
So I have two core places in which I primarily listen to my podcasts. And one of them is I'm doing the dishes. And that's awesome because it gets me through like 45 minutes of hardcore dish doing. And I'm listening to a podcast and I'm completely involved in the podcast and my hands are just doing whatever they're doing. And the other is going for walks.
Yeah.
I usually go for like about an hour walk, and
just 45 minutes power walk, and my hands are doing whatever they're doing.
Oh yeah, you never know where those guys are. Those rascals. Who knows what they're getting up to?
Oh, you.
That's what I'm calling my hands. Those little rascals.
The little, you know, rascals.
That does not explain things to a judge adequately. I can tell you.
Well, hands will be hands.
Hey, they're just little rascals. They're up to the devil's business.
Idle hands. Am I right, Judge? Anyway, I'll see you next week.
They're like 3 feet from my head and 3 feet from my heart. And you know, at that range, that's where boobs often end up. Your Honor.
3 feet away from me.
Legally.
At least 3 feet away from me.
God. All right. First question comes to us from Kurt Schwitters, a secretly alive surrealist artist. Guess what? People actually took my request for fake names seriously. So good job, everybody, and keep that going. First question is, it's got a little letter here. Put on your tinfoil hats and strike your tuning forks to foil the secret NSA microphones. I want you guys to give us the real truth about music's most pressing questions.
Well, that's good. We are just musical geniuses, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We've studied long and hard.
How many instruments do you play again?
At least four. Okay. That are generally recognized. Six if you get more of the experimental ones I play.
I know that you really can rock the house on a Chapman stick, for example.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
of course. So that's... And I believe you're a virtuoso on the theremin.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could get a good one. I've got, of course, a hand-me-down. It's been in the family for a while.
Yeah.
But I really want to get one of those nice new ones.
Right, absolutely. So, I can play most of the Empire Strikes Back march, one note at a time, on a piano.
And I think you can also play most of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, and I can either play Heart or Soul. Your choice, I can't play both.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's not his fault. It's a disability he has.
It's funny because both of my brother and my sister are hardcore musicians. Because my parents bought lessons for them when they were kids. But I, on the other hand, and whenever the three of us are hanging out, those two are like talking in sheet music. It drives me insane. The two of them are just like, I don't know. I'm so bad at music. I'm like, note. That's the first word I can think of.
Note song.
Little S thing at the beginning of those bars.
G. Am I unit?
Chords. And am I right, guys? Arpeggios. Let me into this conversation. Huh?
Forte.
Something. I can and I can play either Heart or Soul, so I can either do dun 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 dun, dun, dun or do 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 do. Either one. I can't do both.
Yeah,
you get your choice. So yeah, we're definitely experts. So here we go. Number one question: forget who is just a stooge. Why let the dogs out?
Well, I mean, they've been cooped up all day. That's why.
Yeah, if you don't let air rush over their penises, they're going to get an infection.
Yeah, you really got to work it in there. Work the fresh air into that crevice.
God, I'm so glad I set that up before this came along. So you got to let those dogs out, because otherwise their muscles aren't going to get a good stretch.
Yeah, they got to get out, run around, bark at some people.
Yeah, and they're going to develop Cropsy's droopy penis. Which is the
my favorite D&D spell.
Cropsy's droopy penis. Level 6, VSM. M component, a dog that has been cooped up. All right, number 2 question. Who is the real Slim Shady, and who is preventing him from standing up?
All right, well, I guess you figured it out, obviously, why you're asking the question. I suppose it's time I came clean with the audience. I'm the real Slim Shady. I am Marshall Mathers. I have been doing this podcast just for fun in between my recording. You got me.
Right. And the thing that's keeping him from standing up is just depression.
Yeah. Well, it's my bitch wife.
There you go. And of course, I'm Vin Diesel.
Obviously.
Known gamer. Yeah, you can tell from my growly, growly voice.
You can tell because he is Groot.
I taught Judy Dench to play role-playing games. I was playing as a drow half-ranger, and she was, of course, an air elemental. Family.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. I like your Marshall Mathers voice. It's just your regular voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to put on an affectation when I go and rap.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah, well, I usually can't really get the voice down that I use when I'm rapping until I've had Mom's spaghetti.
There's spaghetti on spaghetti already. Mom spaghetti. Have you gotten over your crippling fear of puppet dogs?
No, man. I hate that shit.
All right. Last question is number three here from him, and this is Freddie Mercury. Didn't know he was supposed to change his name, and now we all know that the Freddy Scouts are real. Who is Freddy Venus, Freddy Earth, etc., and what do they plan to have to avenge to their fallen teammate? Okay, so first of all, let me ask this question. Is there a Sailor Earth?
I don't think so. I think that's what Moon is taking the place of.
Yeah, it's weird that she's Sailor Moon and not Sailor Earth, right? Because all the other ones are from planets. And, you know, of like the one or two episodes I've seen of that show, she's like kind of clumsy and shitty compared to the competent actual Sailor Scouts.
Well, you had the rest of them. They sort of fill the little tropes, and it's like, oh, I think it's like Sailor Mercury is super nerdy and into doing math, and then fucking Sailor Venus has a crush on every boy.
Yeah,
and Sailor Jupiter is like, let's fucking do this.
And then the next two out, Uranus and Neptune, I think, are lesbians, but not in the United States. In the United States, they're secretly, they're like brothers.
Oh, I think it's Jupiter and... Is it Uranus or Neptune?
It's Uranus and Neptune are girls. And then Jupiter, you were almost right, is a big warrior type. And then Pluto is another big warrior type. And then there are three star ones that can turn into boys or something. I don't know. It gets confusing. But the end result, there isn't actually a Sailor Earth. So for that same reason, there isn't a Freddy Earth.
Yeah.
That's okay. So, but we can get you the rest of them.
Freddy Venus, the lead singer from The Darkness.
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah, and let's see. We also need the guy from Fun. I believe he's Freddy Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that a couple of those high, it's mostly just awesome high-pitched singer dudes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so you can probably fill in the rest of the blanks yourself. I'm trying to think of more of them off the top of my head.
And in order to avenge their fallen teammate, they will sing very passionately about the most random of things.
Well, what could they do? I mean, let's see. What is the crime that's been committed against Freddie Mercury? I mean, I love the guy, but HIV,
I mean,
is...
Yeah, come on. There's no crime committed. It's not like Dre, where people forgot about him.
No one forgot about Freddie Mercury. And of all the celebrities who were famous in the 70s and 80s, he's probably the most successful, well-known bisexual one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did pretty well for himself.
No, he did great.
I know he was kind of a depressed, reclusive person in his real life. I know he had HIV and all that, but, I mean, come on. The guy used to come out in concert on the shoulders of Darth Vader.
As I would, had I the means.
Really, the only crime that's been committed against him has been after his death, as nerds across the United States have taken to creating annoying memes about how important Bohemian Rhapsody is.
Also, using an image of him as a meme. How dare you meme Freddie Mercury?
Yeah, leave Freddie Mercury alone and dead. And quit pretending that everyone in a restaurant sang Bohemian Rhapsody with you. No, they fucking didn't. That didn't happen. The song was only cool because of Wayne's World. Get over it.
No, see, I was in class and I started singing Bohemian Rhapsody and everyone sang along with me. And then the teacher tried to stop me, but then a U.S. Marine came up and knocked him out. And that Marine's name? Albert Einstein.
U.S. Marines are always there to defend the music of Zanzibar. Stop it, Internet. No one thinks that everyone sang Bohemian Rhapsody with you. There are other songs with counterpoint harmony. And in fact, if you want to keep talking about Bohemian Rhapsody, you have to at least own one Queen album, and their greatest hits doesn't count.
It's true.
All right, so thank you very much, Kurt. Let's go to the next set of questions. This is another one from our good friend Devil Turbo Farmer.
Yep, good old Devil Turbo Farmer.
Yeah, he actually sent us a big old lesson, but I had to cut the top half out. It was mostly him continuing to gripe about how we're mean about third edition. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. We keep pointing to that garbage and telling you it's garbage.
It's not garbage. 3.5 is a fine game. All the shit that's broken with it only occurs if you let it. It's a fine game.
Look, it's fine. Just because there are comic stink lines wafting up from it.
Just because it's illegal in six states. Just because they had to close 3.5 for 3 months in 2007 because of an E. coli outbreak.
It reopened but still has a C rating.
Oh, man. We all think it's a fine game. I played the crap out of 3.5. It's just that 4th edition is also good. That's all we're saying. I don't know what's up with the 3.5 people. Anyway, let's go to the question. This leads to my one and only question. I, Devil Turbo Farmer, have hitchhiked to San Diego to confront you once and for all to explain why 3.5 is better because, oh, never mind, you don't need to hear it. How do you plan on defending yourselves and your home from me, keeping in mind I brought a collection of weapons from 70s movies... To defend myself, well, oh, he says the 70s movies are his favorite kind of movies, by the way. That's the real crime, devil.
Oh, yeah, that's why we will come to blows.
70s movies. If you're not, lightsaber is the only weapon from the 70s that matters. Except, I would say, for like an air tank that you shove into a shark's mouth.
Maybe.
That, I think that's about it. Or the gun you shoot Fredo with. After that, there's, oh, you know what? The glaive. No, that's from the 80s. The 80s is, yeah, okay, so there you go. Including but not limited to a lightsaber, of course, the fucking proton laser beam from Rocky Horror. All right, that is pretty great. That's a pitchfork with a handle, with a, like a pistol grip stuck on it. That thing's pretty great. And a dusty off-white sheriff's office being carried by a bunch of anthropomorphic apes. So how are we going to defend ourselves? Dude's 15. I'm going to get the hose.
I'm just going to grab the top of your head and keep you at arm's length.
To that windmill punch.
He'll tire himself out eventually.
The hose!
Oh, he's had just a little too much soda today. He's got all riled up.
I mean, I know that in the cartoons they've put a lightsaber in water, but have you ever wondered what would happen if a lightsaber just got wet? Like, if you just put a hose on him? This thing could just sizzle out and just give him a little shock. Ow!
Oh, hey! Whoa.
Hey, don't do that! Yeah. I hate this.
Here's how we're
imagining that as a Jedi.
I'm a Jedi. Oh,
so here's
the deal with Jedi peanuts.
So Devil Turbo Farmer, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna swing by and we're gonna be like, hey, don't hit us with things. And you're like, I'm gonna hit you because I'm mad about 3.5. And we'll be like, oh, you want to go McDonald's?
You want to get Happy Meal?
And then, feeling thoroughly condescended to, you will agree, because yes, everyone wants to go to McDonald's, duh.
Everyone wants a Happy Meal. The toys are Batman this time. I want a Batman toy.
Who doesn't want a Batman? And God help you if you give me a penguin. bonus question. Ever since I saw Big Money Wrestlers, I've seriously considered becoming a Juggalo. My friends have either cried upon me telling them this, or thought I already was one. Do you feel guilty for turning the youth of America into meth-riddled juggalos? No one said meth.
Just riddled juggalos.
Yeah, just riddled juggalos. Like, strawberry riddled. Like when you go to Red Robin, you get a nice strawberry riddled lemonade.
Oh, no, just getting a good riddled juggalo. Just the juggalo that comes up to you and is like, what walks on four legs in the morning and two in the evening and then three at night?
It's my bitch, Samanthica.
You are correct. Have this meth. juggalos.
Samanthica. No, don't become a juggalo. Just appreciate them from a distance. That's the best way you can do that.
Yeah, it's like fucking Gorillas in the Mist.
Yeah, it's not like I want to be a gorilla, but that's a pretty neat movie or documentary. So there you go. Just appreciate them. I mean, also, if you want to cure yourself of being a juggalo, it's real easy. Instead of watching their awesome film, I have to assume the other one is also awesome.
Probably.
Instead of watching Big Money Wrestlers, listen to some Insane Clown Posse music.
Yeah.
That'll cure you right quick. Go ahead and get the one song from the Heavy Metal FAC 2000 soundtrack. I believe it's called Dirtball. Go ahead and listen to Dirtball. That will cure you. No problem.
Done.
There. All set. Thank you very much for the questions, Devil Turbo Farmer. We're moving on to a question from a series of questions from Gradenko.
Oh, good.
Hey, Jeff and John. I'm a big fan of the podcast since I started with your basic D&D episode. You even read one of my Twitter questions before you guys had such a huge fan base that you couldn't keep track of questions through there anymore. And that just made my day. Actually, we've always been able to do that. I'm just lazy and shitty.
Also, we just don't like you.
Actually, I had no idea this was you. You signed this one with your real name, and I was like, oh my god, that guy, we've been listening, that guy's listened to us forever, and he's a known guy in one of our forums.
And we don't like him at all. We just hate that guy.
I think he's great. Okay. Also, he's a known public sex gentleman.
Thank you.
There we go. Let's see. On to my dumb questions. How would you make Finnegan's Wake the RPG?
Well, be sure to listen next week for our next RPG, because that's basically Finnegan's Wake the RPG.
I feel more like that's Ulysses the RPG. Which, again, granted, is the only James Joyce book I've actually read, is Ulysses. I've never read Finnegan's Wake. I'm vaguely familiar with it.
No one should.
Yeah. Because Ulysses is the one with the thunder words, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, I feel like next week is all about thunder words. Just nonsense words. Just
next week
crazier.
Is all about impenetrable dumb bullshit that doesn't make sense, and anytime you think you have a grasp on it, it gets away from you.
Okay, so here's how you make the Finnegan's Wake the RPG. When you roll a die, you actually need the results from a different die.
Also, continually tell people about vague ideas of rules, and then tell them that you'll explain it later, and then explain different rules when they get to the section that you were going to explain, mm-hmm. but never actually explain rules enough that you have a cohesive game.
You have a plus two to hit somebody if, while rolling, you fart directly into the DM's face. Lustily. Right, James Joyce, right?
Lustfully?
Lustily? Lustfully?
Lustily?
Lustishly?
Yes, there we go. Lustishly.
Lustish?
Lustisher?
Good times, good times. If you had to name your firstborn child after an in-joke from this podcast, what would it be?
I mean, obviously, dog penis.
The new one. You know what I'd name my kid? Mm-hmm. I'd name my kid Let's Cut to a Clip.
And he prays! Oh my God, God, pray! I pray to sink of thee! Yeah! For a little shower! And I say, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah! Hey, yeah, yeah! I say, what's going on?
Yeah! Pretty good name, right?
Good, great name. That's the best name I've ever heard.
So there we go. That's definitely the one I'd go with. And next question, is Cheese Dudes available for international franchising? Well, yeah, I mean, there's already a Cheese Dudes in Spreck and Halterstell.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will say this. Euro Cheese Dudes, nowhere near as good as Cheese Dudes in America.
Also, they have some really weird ideas about how to do their own, like, local national marketing in Europe. Like, for example, one of the sandwiches you can get there is the Big Ohio Bagel sandwich, which is weird. Like, who associates Ohio with bagels?
I mean, apparently Europeans. It's probably the British. The fucking British. Every time they fuck everything up. British people, quit it. Stop being terrible.
Knock it off. I don't understand what's up with your Alaskan cheese pizza slice. Alaskan? What is that marketing? Come on, Brendan.
Come on, get it together. We know all about every single province. I don't know, you have provinces in Britain, right? Something like that?
I think it's parishes.
I don't know.
No, it's fib wobblies.
Oh, yeah, all your fib wobblies there in your fucking island nation of jerks.
I know, it's just a bunch of people wearing heavy boots and grumbling about the decline of eels. I don't even know. I mean, everything's upon something else.
Yeah.
It's always like Winthrop upon the Tyne.
Yeah, well, yeah. How about, Britain, you get upon these nuts?
Cheese Dudes, in summation. So anyway, yeah, there's plenty of franchising opportunities for Cheese Dudes. If you are in a location other than kind of the core Central Europe, because we're pretty heavily involved in those places already, but the further out you go, for example, if you'd like to open a Moldovan Cheese Dudes franchise.
Yeah, well, there is currently opening up a Moroccan Cheese Dudes, way better spices, but mostly kind of a weird area to put it in.
It's true. And you know, right now you can sit down in a Cheese Dudes with a perfect view of the pyramids of Egypt. Like the pyramids at Giza.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's
you can see all of the grain stored in there that Cheese Dudes uses in their bread.
That's right. That's what, if you're curious about what the pyramids are used for today, it's Cheese Dudes grain storage.
Yeah, that's what they bought them up. Yeah. I mean, they were going cheap. They got it on a Black Friday sale.
Look at the pyramids on a Black Friday sale. Yeah, who thought to buy them? That's what happened. I mean, they're the first people to just walk in and go, hey, how much for these pyramids, huh?
Yeah, you know, those ones, the big ones over there.
I want those ones, not the little shitty pyramids.
No, give me the big ones. Give me the great ones.
The huge ones.
Yeah.
Keep up the podcasting. More power to you. All the best, Grudenko. Thanks, Grudenko.
Thank you so goddamned much.
Okay, next question is not a question. It's just a friendly letter from Cal Wilkes, and he writes, "Hey guys, I made a Cheese Dudes micro RPG for fun, where you play as employees of a Cheese Dudes. It's based on the PBTA system. The two stats are cheese and dude, and it uses a version of the Panty Explosion Friendship Rival system to replace the GM. It's also got some semi-competitive elements to encourage stupid stuff to happen. Check it out."
Yeah, and we did.
We did. It looks awesome.
Like, great job, man.
This is our first experience with the PBTA system, so for me it's still a little confusing. I'm going to have to read it when I'm not reading another book, which will happen someday.
Yeah, you know, when we quit.
I know it's only like 2 pages long, but I will get in there. We've read it a bunch, and we thought it was awesome. If you would like to learn more about the Cheese Dudes micro RPG, I'm putting it on the fridge.
Would you like to know more?
So the fridge is, again, it's on our website. It's the fan submission section. You can see it. It's in the top set of links. Just look right for the fridge. Click on that, and you'll be able to find the Cheese Dudes micro RPG.
Yep, it has gone right up on the fridge.
It will by the time this is live.
Yep.
So there you go, right on the fridge.
Right there.
So thanks very much, Ted Jenner. Thanks very much, Ted. Good work. All right, and next question comes to us from Michael Moorcock, as far as you know. Sir, I've never read any of your books, but based on role-playing games based on your books...
I obviously hate you.
You're a dog penis.
You.
As a follow-up to my last question about Jabba's palace, if you had to be one of the unnamed drunken asshole aliens present in the Mos Eisley Cantina, who would you be?
Satan. I would be Satan. Obviously, I'm the devil.
Let's be clear here, there are no unnamed aliens in there because of Star Wars Expanded Universe shenanigans.
Yeah.
And while I don't remember that guy's name, I can tell you that his race is Deveronian.
Yes.
So he's a...
But his name is Satan.
He's Satan. And I would go as Lak Sivrak, that werewolf guy.
Oh yeah, that guy's rad.
Or that lamprey he's hanging out with. You know in the Expanded Universe that werewolf and lamprey are on a date? And that werewolf is a Jedi X-Wing pilot?
Of course he is.
I love the Expanded Universe.
Expanded Universe, everyone's a secret Jedi.
Yeah, not the Deveronian. The Deveronian falls in love with yet another lady that's in there who
is it the snail person?
No, it's some woman who's... You don't see much of her, but she's furry. And she has, according to the Expanded Universe, she has a extendable tongue, which she uses to disembowel people right after she has sex with them, and he decides it's worth it. Oh no, he just doesn't know they do that.
Ah.
So that's what happens to that Deveronian. He, like, hooks up with this random gross alien based on the fact that she also has horns.
Nice.
And then she disembowels him for it.
Man, well, that's what you get for being so shallow. Just going after a lady for her horns.
I know.
Her eyes are down here, okay?
Yeah, seriously. I might also go as a little bat guy.
Oh, a little bat guy.
Right?
Yeah. I might just go as fucking Buttface.
Oh, let's see. That's Pondababa, the walrus man?
Yeah, Pondababa. I might just be the Buttface man.
Yeah, I don't understand how the world has come to associate him as a walrus. He has a butt stuck to the bottom of his face.
No, I've never thought of him as a walrus. He's just the Buttface guy.
And he's like, his name is Walrus Man, and it's like, those aren't tusks.
No.
That's a butt. That guy has a butt on his face. There's a reason to cut his hand off.
The Emperor is not wearing any clothes, and that guy's got a butt on his face.
He should be called Butt Man.
Which, awesome porn parody. If you guys haven't seen Butt Man Begins...
I wish I could tell you that that was a porn parody, but it's not. The Butt Man series of pornos is like 30 long. It's mostly just a guy who likes big butts and has sex with them. Let's see, was it Lustishly that we decided on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lustishly.
Yeah, I assume. I don't know. So there you go. Next, we have a few more questions. Oh, wait, what did we settle on? You were going to go as devil.
I'm the devil.
And I'm going to be the werewolf.
Great.
Because the werewolf looks rad, and he's a secret Jedi X-Wing pilot.
Apparently time for Halloween again.
Yeah, I love that werewolf costume. Okay, next question has come to us from Blake, and Blake asks, what are your thoughts on mega games? See, watch the skies, shut up, and sit down, review. I have no idea what that is. So, John, take it away.
Okay, so I actually read and enjoy Shut Up and Sit Down because I'm a huge board game guy, and that's what they do. They review board games.
Okay.
But one of the mega games that they had, Watch the Skies, was sort of like a 100-person role-playing game where it was split up into, like, you'd be different countries, so you'd have, like, four people, and you're Japan, and so one of you is the prime minister, one of you is the science officer, one leads the army, and the last one's guy's the PR guy. Right?
Oh, okay, no.
Yeah.
One of them is the great Del Moody.
Indeed. One's the asshole, one's the president.
President the asshole.
So, and then you had, like, a group of people that were the aliens, and they were, like, all of the countries were down, it was like in a gym, and so they were down below on the gym floor, and then they had, like, a balcony where all the aliens were at, and so they were watching them.
Isn't this a LARP?
Sort of, but it was still, like, you had to go through moderators and be like, okay, I want to do whatever, I want to move my guys into this zone, and the aliens were doing their own thing.
But still, that's just a LARP.
And then the science officer had to go off and, like, science up and prepare things, and he got science points to spend on science things.
By the way, what do you call a tiger with glasses on?
I don't know.
A science tiger.
Great.
Okay, moving on.
Jokes by three-year-olds.
Jokes by three-year-olds. Look them up.
That's sort of the general concept, is a giant role-playing game that is moderated, but nobody who's moderating it is really controlling any of the things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, when I watched the review, it looked super awesome. I really wish that they would do one of those in our area, because I would love to go in and just be like, look, we're going to take over some dumb country. We're going to be in charge of whatever.
All right, well, there's your answer then. If you are involved with Mega Games and you're one of our fans, contact us if you come to San Diego, because we'll come play, and then we'll brag about it on the show.
Oh, yeah. Free advertising, I don't give a fuck. Mega Games are rad. I love the idea behind it. They're super cool. They had an entire press corps was one of the people who you could be.
Nice.
And they would just go at, like, ask questions from other leaders,
mm.
and then put out a newspaper every, oh, like, cool. in-game week.
That was actually something that happened in that Nexus LARP that we read, too, was that someone was supposed to put out newsletters each morning. All right, next question from the same guy here. And again, I forgot to mention who's asking this. Oh, no, this is Blake. Next question. Where are the best donuts in San Diego? VG's in Encinitas or Pedersen's in Escondido are pretty good. It's the donut, downtown place, right?
Donut bar downtown.
Yeah, donut bar.
It is amazing. If you can, they've got a Mexican hot chocolate donut that is insane. They've got a creme brulee donut, which is great.
Right. And I'm going to go ahead and out myself here. I don't like any donuts that aren't from a place that's just called donuts. Like, my...
If a 80-year-old Asian man doesn't walk out and try to give you a cake donut with some frosting on it, you don't want any part of it.
That's right. My favorite donuts are the ones that are from places that are not part of a franchise and are not all cool and hipster and newfangled and millennial. I like donuts from a place that's just called, usually like TK Donuts.
Or like Happy Donuts.
Yeah, Happy Donuts. And that way I can get a real old-fashioned, the way it should be, where you just break the chunks off the sides. I love old-school donuts. And the worst part for me is I don't live anywhere near one of those.
No, you really don't.
I live across the street from a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I'm like, you live right across the street from Krispy Kreme, and you don't like it.
Oh, it's so disappointing. Every Krispy Kreme donut is the same fucking donut. The only difference is whether or not it's got fruit in there.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's got some cream.
Whatever, I just don't care. I like my good old-fashioned donuts from, like, a cheap donut place where there's one that's got orange goo on it. Yeah.
Good. I like goofy hipster donuts. Give me your maple bacon shenanigans donut. Do it.
Oh, yeah, the kind of donut place where they never don't play jazz.
Well, it's the kind of donut place where they're only open for 4 hours, and then they sell out, and then they're done for the day.
And at least one of the donuts is spicy, and another one comes with a toy car for some reason. And you just never can quite figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, they made the donut look like a little racetrack.
Oh, that explains it. That's like David Lynch's donuts. This donut comes with a serving of meat slop.
Ah, this donut is flavored like ennui.
Thanks, David.
You can tell because I scared you when you got it.
All right, few more questions from this guy. How true to the $5 board game rules do you guys keep to? Do you add house rules quickly? So just to remind people what that's about, what we do for fun, what our hobby is these days, is we go to the local game store, usually on Wednesdays, and we play old board games. We buy them off their used shelf. We buy the cheapest one we can find, and then we play it.
Yep.
And it's led to some real duds, like Mental Floss.
Mental Floss, the greatest game.
We're never going to be less than angry at Mental Floss, because Mental Floss had a trivia question, which was, where is Wonder Woman from?
And of course, the person answering it was like, oh, Themyscira, great.
Everyone at the table was like, yeah, we don't even need to look at that. It's Themyscira. We're all nerds. We all know where Wonder Woman's from. The answer was Paradise Island.
Get fucked, Mental Floss.
It happened more than once.
Oh, yeah, there is one where it was, the answer was a column and said a, like, pedestal instead or something.
Yeah, and so we got super angry at that. But sometimes we get really good games, like Love Jenga or Careers.
Oh, Careers.
So we found some gems. I think the only one that we've had to house rule is Love Jenga. So just to give people an idea, Love Jenga is Jenga, but it's got Truth or Dares written on every single one of the tiles. And they're done in really badly translated from Chinese English.
Yeah.
So they say things like, stand straight and turn two round while speaking in tone of infant.
So good. The whole thing is great.
It's amazing. It's the most fun way to play Jenga you've ever seen. But there is one tile that says, call your parents and tell them thank you.
And no one has ever done it because...
We're in our 30s. Our parents don't need to be bothered at 10 at night.
Oh, yeah. Also, when we're playing it, I'm like, I'm not going to wake my parents up and be like, thank you. Sorry, I was playing a game. I know this is something I probably would have done when I was, like, 14. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
So instead, we, like, send them a text message or something. So there you go. That's pretty much the only house rule we've allowed so far.
All right.
Great. And, sorry, I send these as I think of them. I listened to your Nexus review. Have you ever gotten a chance to LARP?
Nope.
Nope. Sorry. We still would love to, and if any of our fans in San Diego are LARPers, you're welcome to invite us. Know that we're not going to get involved for more than, like, a session.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like we said before, if you've got a mega game, invite us to that, too, because that's rad as hell.
We'll give you free publicity. Hell, we'll put it on the air before, if you need help help filling up your numbers.
Hell, I'll go door-to-door and tell them all about you.
Hell, I'll sing it from the rooftops.
I'll sell it from the five and dive.
I'll sell it at the corner store. It's a new century.
Mega Games! Get on the Mega Games train!
So if you want that kind of nonsense, then get in contact with us, San Diego LARPers.
Yerp.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Dan the Red Croovy M.
Oh, you like Rob Zombie.
Oh, we're in Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie did the Red Croovy. There you go. Nice. I know your reference, you son of a bitch.
I must know. Given unrestricted selection, food and care provided for, and an assurance that you won't be eaten or attacked, what animal would you use as a mount?
All right, now, I'm going to go ahead and say this is allowed to be anything mythical or from any given work.
Like a video game stuff?
Video games, movies, books, it's open for anything. It's not just a regular animal.
Because that's all I do in World of Warcraft anymore. Like, when I still try to play that crappy old game, all I do is go get mounts. I have, like, 230-something.
Yeah.
All I care about is mounts.
So, given that, that is the base that I'm doing. I know he didn't say that, but that's my own idea.
So fantasy animals are okay, and scaled-up versions of tiny animals are acceptable in your rules.
Well, I mean, as long as they've been in media.
Oh, so, in media of some kind. All right.
There was them, and that's giant ants. So you could ride a giant ant, or big-ass spider, the movie everyone knows about big-ass spider.
Right, or giant clouds of white ooze because of the stuff.
Yeah, you could ride that.
If you want to ride around on ooze and have your face explode.
If you want to just ride around in marshmallow fluff all day, then by God, you can.
I'd like to ride around on a mow. Wait a minute. Now I'm hearing how that sounds out loud.
Okay, so what do you pick? What Ooh. Is your mount of choice?
Giant praying mantis.
Giant praying mantis. Any reason?
I've always been a huge fan of praying mantises. I used to keep them as pets when I was a kid. I think they're really cool looking.
All right.
I don't think they're especially fast, but they can crawl right up vertical surfaces, which would be useful. I mean, I probably should pick something that can fly or swim or something, but no, I want something imposing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, you?
I'm going to go with a luck dragon.
Oh, very good. I didn't know we're allowed to take things that can talk. That might change my answer up.
Well, going with a luck dragon, you've already picked a praying mantis, so get fucked. I have a luck dragon. I got wishes.
That's fine. That luck dragon changes hands fairly regularly.
Also, I'm just going to terrorize kids with it. That's the only reason I want it.
Granted. Making kids hide in a dumpster.
I hate children and want to terrify them.
I want their heads. So, you know, naturally, I need a praying mantis.
Naturally.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's see. Next questions are coming to us from Elliot Schucher.
Yeah, Schucher what?
I'm still trying to get that name right. I think I probably have at least once.
Schucher? I barely know her.
Let's say 90s-era TSR put out a Garfield RPG. How would it work? What if Jeff was put in charge of it?
Okay, well, it would work like every other game that TSR put out.
In the 90s? It's 90s era, which means it's going to be more like 3.5 than it is like their old box sets.
Yeah. Okay. Which just means it's going to be fucking the OGL.
Yeah, it's going to be OGL Garfield. So that means you're going to have a series of races and classes.
All the same stats.
Yeah, you'll be able to play as, let's see, human, Lyman, veterinarian, Garfield, gross subhuman farmer relative.
Oh yeah, you'll have like human, dog, cat,
yeah,
cute cat, fat cat,
long-necked gap-tooth cat,
farmer.
People, all you can do is call people boy.
Yeah.
And let's see, you need some classes. Let's see, lazy, good for nothing, idiot, other kind of idiot, veterinarian, and guard dog.
There you go.
Only dogs can be guard dogs. Oh, and also pontificating spider.
Yeah.
Remember that? Because there's all those ones where the spider pops up and says something stupid, and then the punchline
gets slapped.
The punchline is that he is a squished spider in the last panel. Garfield's very formulaic these days.
Oh, yeah. So, the question of what if Jeff was put in charge of it, it would fail miserably because Jeff is a loser and sucks at everything.
It would fail miserably because I have literally no attention span. Hey, would you like to ride bikes?
Ooh, what's that?
Ooh, piece of candy. No, let's see. If I were put in charge of it, well, I was a big fan of 3.5. I would probably insist on way too many splat books.
Probably.
I'd be like, well, guys, we need an Abu Dhabi source book, because it doesn't make sense that Nermal gets sent there, but then we don't go there to see what's going on.
Yeah, one of my PCs got mailed there. I need to have information on what he finds.
Yeah, can he come back with a prestige class he picked up in Abu Dhabi?
Obviously, we need this book.
Also, I'd do a whole complicated crossover with whatever that American Farms thing.
U.S. Acres.
U.S. Acres, thank you. Oh, man, American Farms is pretty close.
American Farms. Thanks. That's the off-brand. That's the Safeway brand U.S. Acres.
The Safeway brand of U.S. Acres. We've got Sheldis. I can only remember Sheldon from that. There was a duck that was afraid of things.
Yeah, there was a pig.
There was a pig that was like a good guy.
As a good guy pig, there was a goose.
There were two chicks. One of them was out of its shell and was kind of aggressive, and the other one was in his shell and was wise beyond his years.
No, it's the other way.
Oh, okay.
The one in his shell was wise, and the one out of his shell was an asshole.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, okay.
No, the one out of his shell was basically the Scrappy Doo.
Yeah, he was like a Scrappy Doo. So in the Safeway version, American Farms, he would just be Scrappy Doo.
Yeah. It would just be a lineup of all of them slightly changed, and then that chick is replaced with Scrappy Doo.
There you go. So that's what I'd do, is I'd introduce that cast of characters. Because I couldn't remember the term U.S. Acres. And let's be clear here, who but John could?
Yeah.
No one remembers you. U.S. Acres was the terrible half of the Garfield cartoon, and the good half was terrible.
Man, you don't even know. I had the U.S. Acres books.
Yeah.
In the same way that I had the Garfield books.
No, I had the Garfield books. Those kind of too long.
Yeah. Long Garfield books where it was two per page.
Yeah. Garfield lives large.
Garfield living large. Garfield hates Mondays. Garfield
sucks dick. For money.
Garfield gets chocolate and peanut butter together and rubs it on a dog's penis.
Garfield gets tricked into doing sound editing for porn films.
Yeah. So all of those, had those, that's why I know that.
Garfield has communist tendencies. Garfield gets blacklisted from Hollywood.
Oh,
they've been going back quite a while, I mean.
Yeah.
Probably could happen, right?
Maybe.
So, alright, so there you go, I'd ruin it. At the same time, what if 90s Palladium got the same license? How would they do it? What would they do differently? What if John was put in charge of it?
Okay, well, obviously if Palladium gets Garfield as a license, it just becomes the Garfield Sourcebook 27 for Rifts. And Garfield shows up and you get a bunch of notes on what alignment Garfield and John and Odie are.
They have to be.
Secretly, Odie is an alien intelligence, because obviously he is.
I think the important thing is you also get the mutant animals table, so you can play as a human mutant Garfield.
Well, I was going to say, you're going to have one page, after it starts talking about, like, how much he loves lasagna and hates Mondays, and it talks about all this backstory, you're going to have four pages of blocky, identical-looking guns.
Right, you're going to need that. You're also going to need that picture of a man turning into a werewolf over five drawings. And then the fact that Garfield gets 20 less bio-E than other mutant cats because he's lazy.
What if I was put in charge of it? I would change nothing. I love
same.
It. I would love every minute of it. I would wallow in it.
You'd be just like old Kevin and never invest in, like, editing software and do everything with one of those light-backed tape machines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Take credit for everything. That's the first thing you'd do if you were in charge.
Oh, if I was in charge, I'd be like, well, we had a great team on here, but everyone was under my direction, and I'm going to go ahead and put my name under everything.
That's a great job you did there, CJ. I'm going to put in a 3-page foreword about how all this was my idea. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's a wonderful team, but I've been really thinking about this subject for a long time, which is why I decided to write this book.
All right. Okay, next question from him is, what's your favorite Palladium setting? Not game, just setting. Also, how many alien intelligences can you think of that live on Rift's Earth? Well, that's interesting, because I can think of... I don't know if I can think of any of them by name, but I can definitely name where several of them are.
Merlin.
Yeah, okay, there's Merlin. There's the vampire intelligence of Wakulba.
Yeah, well, there are a few vampire intelligences. One actually gets named.
That's, something venereal or something.
Yeah, venereal.
Yeah, venereal. It's venereal. It's the venereal game. He's named after the Victorian-era practice of giving groups of animals fanciful names.
There's Splinkrith, obviously, on Atlantis.
Splinkrith is a Splugorth, that's correct. Yeah, there's also the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Which aren't alien intelligences, actually.
They are not, no.
They're just super powerful.
That's true, yeah.
Which is actually going to be my favorite setting in Palladium, is Africa.
Yeah.
The fucking World Book for Africa is amazingly terrible.
Well, if I get to pick one too, I'm going to go with the Lurker from the Deep, and my favorite setting in Rifts Underseas. Because Underseas is like 20 pages of how great dolphins are.
Oh, yeah.
And then a bunch of stupid factions that don't get along.
No. And Africa's just... The four horsemen are here. Also, there are blood mages and witches. And
mind bleeders.
Mind bleeding.
And the Katani flying tank power armor. No, flying crab.
Yeah.
And also, the tree people. The race so boring that they forgot to put their stat block in that book.
So good. I love that book so much. Africa is amazing because of how awful it is.
The Phoenix-y. Oh, that is a great book. But then Roast Under Seas, you can play as a dude with a fish for a head.
That is true.
Yeah. Also, you can get a robot seahorse to ride around on. I mean, that book is...
You can be on an aircraft carrier.
You can play as a sperm whale. Now, you're an SDC creature, and you're very gentle.
So you're probably dead.
Yeah, you're going to die immediately, but you can play as a sperm whale.
There's some Lorica wraiths.
Oh, there's plenty of Lorica wraiths. They got weird dream pirates called the Dream Raiders, I think.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Ooh, Dream Raiders, I believe you can get into my source book.
There you go. So it's Africa and Underseas. And if you want to throw out some honorable mentions.
Honorable mention is definitely Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is real dumb.
And I'm going to give my honorable mention to New West, because I love the cactus people aliens.
Yeah.
And the Psyslinger and the gunslinger with four arms that's a Borg.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the Australia one because it's just like two cities survived.
Yeah.
The rest of Australia is dead.
A lot of it's underwater. Like the whole outback filled up with water.
Oh, and yeah. You have like a giant crescent in the outback that's water. And then the bunyip shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And then there's like kangaroo riding mutants.
Yeah. Which is weird. I'm like, you could have just straight up ripped off Mad Max and done that. But instead they were like, nah, I'm Kevin Symbieta. Obviously, if I'm setting something in some country, we're going to use anything an American associates with that country as a thing they do. So we need cybernetic kangaroos.
Oh, yeah.
We need fucking drop bears from another dimension.
Yeah, brought to you by the guy who wrote Rift Japan, where everyone in Japan became a samurai ninja robot.
Oh, yeah, everyone's got a great code of samurai honor.
Yeah, I made a dragon robot to ride around in because I'm such a ninja.
Yep.
Oh, Rifts Japan. All right, why don't we throw out the worst while we're at it?
Rifts Japan?
Rifts Japan is your worst?
Well, no. It's going to be the entire Tolkien War.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like, I know it's five books, but that was garbage.
Yep, that is true. That's not very useful information. I would say the same thing about, say, for example, Juicer Uprising. Five new kinds of Juicer, not all that good of a book. But then again, not a Rifts location.
Hey, man, Juicer Uprising was great because it gave me a Titan Juicer that I had to play when I punched War, the Horseman of the Apocalypse in Africa.
Well, there you go. That sounds awesome. But the good thing it's not a location, it's just a source book of information. I can still say that my least favorite setting that they've ever written for Rifts was Spirit Russia.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. They had Warlords of Russia and then Spirit Russia.
Yeah, I think it might be Mystic Russia, but whatever. I'm calling it Spirit Russia.
No, because it was Spirit West.
Yeah, you're right. Spirit West,
Mystic Russia.
It doesn't matter. It's super boring.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, so there you go.
They already wrote all the cool things they could about Russia in the first
book. Ooh, and another honorable mention I want to throw out to Mindworks. Because Mindworks is like set in Poland or something, and it's just a bunch of dumb Borgs and Broadkill and mad scientists.
It's a weird, like... Crazy Borg putting cybernetics into demons.
Sure is. Next question comes to us from @CactusHat, and he asks, can we have more System Mastery Sings? Like a full episode?
Well, you already got Dreamweaver out of me, so no.
Yeah, I mean, if you want more, just send me an email privately, and I will basically just turn on the background music from Teenage Dream, because I don't think John can resist that.
It's true.
Like, he'll just launch...
I mean, if you put on a Katy Perry song, I'm singing along to that Katy Perry song.
What if there's no lyrics? What if it's karaoke? Will you do it anyway?
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. So if you want that, just...
I am all about that karaoke.
Yeah, let me know, and we'll get you some John singing Katy Perry. Maybe I'll do Centerfold. Whatever. Or Africa, my other go-to.
Yeah.
All right. And next question from Steve Bastian Georgethy Croctilius II.
Yes.
That's
Thank
fun.
You, sir.
That was fun to say. And he asks, oh, this is a good question right here. Dear Cheese Lords, how do you roleplay with boxing gloves on?
Well, that's an interesting question. Okay, Steve Bastian. Every time I want to have a roleplaying session, I need to get the right cheese.
I'm sad that I'm roleplaying.
Damn it, get out of here, man. You're ruining everything.
Oh.
No.
D20!
There you go.
There you have it.
There was some,
That was certainly answering your question.
Yeah, I think that answers your question, in summation.
So, there you go, there you have it.
In summation, please send nachos. Now, if you click on random parts of this podcast, all kinds of cool Flash things will happen.
Yeah. Oh, anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, I'm glad.
Oh, man, it's like we're a living Facebook meme. Early 2000s nerds will remember this.
Teen Girl Squad! Arrowed!
Only 90s kids can survive this.
The Hudge. Alright, so that has been all of the questions. As always, your questions have been amazing.
Thank you, everyone, so much for all of your amazing questions. And of course, if you've got a question that you want to ask, you can reach us basically anywhere online if you're looking for System Mastery. So SystemMasteryPodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us SystemMastery@gmail.com. You can find us System Mastery on Twitter. We're System Mastery on Facebook. We're System Mastery down at the corner store. We're System Mastery at your parents' house. We're System Mastery on the beaches. We're System Mastery on the hills.
We also have GeoCities and Angel Fire pages.
Oh, yeah. We've got little turning cheese gifts.
Oh, yeah.
And then a MIDI sound in the background.
System Mastery at College Club.
Find us on Friendster.
Yeah.
Find me on Napster. Find me on Kazaa. Download me illegally.
System Mastery on FetLife, of course, is a very popular destination. All right, so this has been the Afterthought Podcast.
Yep, thank you so much.
As always, you can find us at all those places we just listed, as long as they are the real ones.
Just Google us, whatever.
Whatever, we're the top result for System Mastery now. We did that. We made it.
So go ahead, give us any questions you got. We've got another review coming up next week for you of... just the worst fucking thing ever.
Oh, it's so good. It's a great game, John.
I hate it so much.
It's a good game.
If ever you want me to be real sad and angry, tune in next week.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get a lot of sad John and smarmy Jeff. Because this game resonates with me. So, as always, you can find us at those places. You can support us on Patreon. If you give us money, it gets deducted only for the System Mastery episode. So, for example, this episode would have been completely free.
Yeah.
You guys are making off like bandits. We're the suckers in this situation. Yeah. Come on down and make fools of us for $1 an episode of System Mastery only.
And you get bonus content. My sister recently pledged $20 an episode because I called her a bad parent, and now she wants to make up for it.
Does she know I get half of that money? I hope not.
Yeah, come on. Just write me a check for $40, sis. Come on.
And then also me a check for $40. In fact, I'm better than your brother, so $45.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Okay, I'm equal to your brother, so $45. So find us on Patreon, listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or just follow our BSS feed directly. We've been System Mastery doing an Afterthought episode. We'll be back later this week for a Movie Mastery during December. I think we'll do all Christmas movies. What do you say?
All Christmas.
Or holiday movies. Someone might recommend 8 Crazy Nights, for example. If you do, fuck you.
Yeah. Don't do it. But if you want to recommend a holiday movie for us to watch during our Jingling All the Way podcast Movie Mastery Marathon...
I'm going to have to go back and listen to this episode just to remember that you called it that so I can call it that.
Then go ahead and let us know that as well, and we'll go ahead and have that on our list for our next Movie Mastery.
And have a lovely week.